Today I'm talking about being set free from your inhibitions. What are the things that hold us back? And Adam kicked us off last week talking about laying things down at the cross and giving things over to God. And we're just going to continue with that thought over the next couple of weeks and ask God to speak to us like he's never spoken to us before. So I'm going to start off this morning with a short story. There was a gentleman named Earl right after World War II. He decided that he wanted a television because television was relatively new and people didn't have them in their homes. And so he decided he was going to get a TV. So he went to the store and he asked for a demonstration. He was impressed, but he had this in the back of his mind. You know what? It won't be long before this TV will get even better. And so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to buy one right now. I'm just going to wait. And then I'll get one when the next model comes out. So several years went by. And Earl decided, you know what, I'm going to go buy a TV. So he went back to the store. But then he decided this, you know what, there's only one or two stations in our city. So it's going to grow. Things are growing. So I'm just going to wait on a TV because one or two stations isn't really worth putting the investment into a television set. And plus, they're going to get better. So Earl went to the store and made the visit, decided against it. A couple of years went by. He heard that TVs had really changed and there were more stations in their city. So he went back to the store. When he was talking to the salesman started telling him how tubes were about to change and the sets were going to be different and they were going to be in color and all the stuff was going to change. So guess what Earl went home without? A TV. Because he decided, you know what, I'm going to wait because it's not going to be long, that it's going to be even a better product. So Earl went home without a television. A couple of years went by. He waited. He went in and he saw some models of TVs and he heard that there was going to be a few changes and the story went on. So finally one day Earl's wife said to him, you're going to go to the appliance store today. Remember when we had appliance stores? And he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get a TV and you're going to bring it home or don't come home. So Earl went to the TV store and guess what he did? He went in and he told the gentleman that was there, he said, I'm going to get a TV because my wife wanted one. And you know, there's been this television series that I've been wanting to hear that all my friends at work talk about. It's called Gunsmoke. And I've really been wanting to see it. And so guess what the guy in the store said to me? He said, well, sir, I hate to tell you this, but Gunsmoke stopped airing in the late 70s. The show doesn't even exist anymore. And so Earl was so disheartened. Guess what he did? He walked out the store without a television again. Anybody know anybody like that? That we have great ideas and great things that we desire. We know things and we think we're going to step forward and we step forward a little bit. And then when we get there, it's not quite what we expect or what we want or what we thought it would be. So we go, you know what? I'll just wait. I have another opportunity. I'll just wait. And sometimes what happens in life over and over and over, many people are just like this gentleman Earl, who they step out there. And they're willing to do something, but when it's not just like they want it or they perceive it to be, they step back. They're inhibited for some reason. Everybody say inhibitions. Man, too many times in life we have inhibitions that keep us from being everything that God has called us to do. Today, I want to challenge you to put your inhibitions on the cross. To stop letting little things keep you from being what God has called you to be. See, too often our inhibitions keep us within our norms. One of the things that I love to do when we're out at lunch with friends and family, and I might have done it to some of you, is I love to sit down at the table and just take everything in the middle of the table and push it to the other side of the table. Anybody ever done that? And just watch what people, yeah, some people are laughing. I probably did it to you. But I like putting my drink in their space because what? Everybody has space, right? And we don't want anybody in our space because this is our norm. And so I'll push the salt shaker over. And as we talk, I'll push the pepper shaker over. As we talk, I'll push my drink over. And to the next thing, I have this big area and they have this little bitty area. And you just watch people squirm. And they'll push a little back. Because it's uncomfortable. Instead of saying, Ivan, stop putting your stuff on my side of the table, right? They won't say a word. They'll just squirm. Because we're uncomfortable. Because it's not the norm. And what we want so many times out of life is just to get up and live our routine day in and day out. Because it's comfortable. And we know this. It's well defined. But here's what it has become, church. It's become a rut. Everybody say rut. We get stuck in a rut. And God is trying to move you out to this beautiful pasture side or this amazing highway where He's moving and things are happening. And we're just over here stuck in the rut, just trudging every day. I'm just living for Jesus. Just stuck in my rut because it's comfortable. And God's called us not to be comfortable. He's called us to fulfill the purpose and plan that He has laid out for our lives. But for some reason, we're inhibited to become everything that God wants us to be. And why is that? So this morning, ask yourself this question. What's holding me back? What's holding me back from being everything that God's called me to be? What's inhibiting me this morning from being the believer that God's called me to be? Then take it a step further this morning and say this. What things in my life aren't working that I'm not willing to change? Take it a step deeper this morning. Say, okay, what is it, Ivan? What are you doing this morning that's not taking you any further, but you're not willing to change them? And why? Why is it? And I would submit to you this morning, it's because you're just stuck in a rut of living life and doing the things that you think are important and doing the things that get things done in your box. But it's not God's box, because we can't put God in a box this morning. Listen to what Webster says this morning about inhibition. I love these. It says inhibition is something that forbids, something that debars, or something that restricts. Forbids, debars, or restricts. Listen to me. None of those are good. Forbids, debars, or restricts. Those are not positive statements. Or it says this. An inner impediment to free activity. An inner impediment to free activity, expression, or functioning. So here's some more questions this morning. What is restricting you this morning? What has caused restriction in your life today that is keeping you from being what God has called you to be? Or another question, what is impeding you today? What is slowing you down? What is holding you back? And why? What has caused you to not be free? What's keeping me from being free in my relationship with Jesus Christ? So I'm going to give you some examples this morning. You can write these questions down. You can write these ideas down. First of all, it could be sin. Sin is one of the major factors that inhibit us from seeing God's presence moving in our lives. And listen, it may not be something huge. It may be something tiny that's just tucked away that's keeping you from following God. Maybe something that you've tucked away from years and years. You say, well, Ivan, you know, nobody knows when they're not around, things that I do or say. Or it's no big deal. It's just me and it's what I do. It's no big deal. Listen to me, church. If it's sinful in your life, it's a huge deal. And it's keeping you from being everything God wants you to be. And you're selling yourself short. And the Bible tells us that sin gives birth to death. That the only thing sin will get us is death. Unless we surrender it to the cross. It may be something as simple as this, man. Something happened to you a long time ago that you're just holding on to. And deep down inside, you're bitter about it. You're frustrated about it. Nobody even knows about it but you. But you've held on to it, and you've held on to it. And it's restricted. It's impeded. It's held you back. It's debarred the blessings that God wants to pour out on you because you're holding on to it. And it's restricting everything that God is trying to do in your life. Maybe this. Many of us have had this experience. I've shared with you many of my experiences and things that people said to me when I was a young person. Man, you may have that voice from that parent, that grandparent, that family member, that teacher, that church member, a pastor. It may be someone, a voice in the back of your head that says, you're never going to amount to anything. And what's holding you back and impeding you and has been impeding your whole life is that voice is still speaking in the back of your mind, and you've never surrendered it to the cross and asked God to take it. And every time you get an opportunity to step out, that little voice is in the back of your head and you don't even know it's there sometimes. And it's saying you can't do this because it'll never work out. Everything you touch turns sour and fails. And it's restricted the blessings. It's restricted your opportunities. It's restricted your relationships. It's impeding everything about your life. Because of one little thing someone spoke to you years ago that you've never been able to let go of. It may be your best friend. You had an idea. I mean, you threw it out there and they laughed at you and went, man, come on. You know you don't have the ability to do that. You're just mediocre, and it takes amazing to take care of something like that. And you listen to that voice. And you've let it seep and take root within your heart. And you've never been able to let it go. And it's inhibited you from being what God's called you to be. Listen to me, church. God's calling you this morning to be set free. God's calling you this morning to lay down every inhibition, restriction, impediment, whatever it may be, to see His best in your life and to further His kingdom. So this morning, I want to share with you a couple of examples. I want you to go with me to Exodus 3. If you have your Bibles, follow along, your iPads, your phones, whatever you may have this morning. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 7. If you don't have anything, you can follow along on the screen. And I'm reading out the New International Version this morning. And we're talking about Moses. And Moses was an incredible, incredible biblical man. But Moses had some things that kept him restricted at times. And this is what verse 7 says in chapter 3. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. He's talking to Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Jump to Exodus 4, verses 1 through 10. And Moses answers, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. And this, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put it back into the cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. And then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. And I just want to stop right there this morning. Mark this down and take it back and read it. Here is God speaking to his servant. And if you know anything about Moses, from his birth to where he was at this point, God had delivered him and used him and done all these things in his life over and over and over. And here's God speaking to him saying, go and lead my people out of bondage. And the first thing that Moses says is, oh, hang on, God, what if they don't listen to me? You know, God, this is like Pharaoh, you know, like the guy in charge. And, you know, I'm not exactly on his A-list. You know, God, I'm not in the Pharaoh circle. How many of us said stuff like that, right? Right? I've said it. I'm not in the circle, God. So, God, I don't know if I could do that. You know, are you sure? God, you got the right guy. You sure? And God speaks to him again and says, I want you to go. But here's what happens. Moses is like, excuse number one, cha-ching. And then God says, okay, so this is what happened. If they don't listen to you when you go and you tell them that I am the one who sent you, that I am sent you, okay, God, and that's in chapter 3 if you want to read that. I didn't read all that. He says, okay, if that doesn't work, then what happens? He says, okay, what do you got in your hand? A staff? Throw it on the ground. He throws it down, and Moses is like, ah! He takes off running. We just read it, right? And the God's like, hang on now, hang on. Come back. Grab it. Can you see Moses reaching down there? Oh, snap. I've had this rod for years and didn't know that would do that, right? He picks it back up, back to the staff and rod. I'd be like, that's what I'm talking about. Wasn't for Moses. He's like, well, God, you know, hang on now. You know, what if they don't believe that? Seriously? The I am is sending you, telling you what to do. You have a history of presence with God. Amazing. Okay, we'll do this then, Moses. Take your hand, stick it in your cloak. Stick this, now pull it out, pulls it out. Can you imagine the look on his face when he pulled his hand out? Because remember in the day, leprous people couldn't be around anyone. They were basically banished. He pulls his hand out. It says he ran with a snake. I bet he screamed and hollered and jumped him down and did a sissy dance right there when he looked at his hand, right? What in the world? I can imagine. And God says, stick it back in there. He sticks it back in his cloak. He pulls it out and he's perfectly healed. And God says, go. Well, God, now, if I do this and I throw down the rod and then God, the hand, that's cool and everything, God. That was awesome. Never seen that one before. What if they still don't believe me? Okay, if they still don't believe you, go down to the river, the Nile, the water that brings life to this whole area, fertilizes everything. Go down there, get water, bring it back, throw it on the ground. It'll be his blood, and they'll know that God has sent you. Three incredible things, three miracles that cannot happen without the presence of God. And then Moses throws this in there. Well, God, you know that neither in the past or like right now, I'm not like eloquent. And I know God's thinking, really? Right? He had to have been. And he says, you know what? I'm slow of tongue and slow of speech. Many Bible scholars believe that Moses had a speech impediment. And so he's like, God, I don't know. Why? I would like to think this morning, if God speaks to me and says, Ivan, take that iPod and throw it down on the ground. I throw it down there and it's like, I think that revival, right? I mean, that's what I'm talking, woo. Didn't he know I could do that, right? Thank you, Lord. What else you got for me, right? Instead of going, oh, hang on, God, I'm afraid of snakes, wrong choice, right? And then God says, stick your hand in your cloak. You stick it in, you pull it out, and we're like, whoa. It's glowing white. This is beautiful, right? Stick it back in, it's gone. Woo. Okay, God, what do you want me to do now? What did you want me to do with this? This is cool stuff. Instead of going, well, God, thanks, but maybe you got the wrong guy. Listen to me, church. I've shared this with you guys over the years. When God called us to start this church, I said that to God. God, you got the wrong guy. I'm a youth minister for life. You. I don't want to be a pastor, man. They're boring. They're not cool, man. They don't get to go on ski trips. They got to preach every Sunday. Right? I made all kinds of excuses. God, I'm not that kind of speaker. I've got kid lingo down. I've got yo and dude and cool. I can say all that. I don't know nothing about dealing with those people in that room. And I questioned God. And I prayed, and every turn it kept coming back up and back up. To finally, I couldn't run from it anymore. But why do we have situations in our lives just like Moses when we've seen God move over and over and over and him work in our lives time after time after time, and yet we still are inhibited when God calls us to step out and take a chance? Listen, when God speaks to us, we should be like, heck yes, one more chance. Let's go do this. God, you want to use me again? Thank you. I've got it. I don't know the details, but I'm on my way. But yeah, we're like, hang on now. We got a plan. Let's sit back. And, he wants me to speak to that person over there at the coffee table. So let me call the pastor and say, okay, there's a guy at the coffee table I thought I could just talk to. How should I approach him? We're sending texts to all of our friends who are on Facebook. Hey, if you're in Starbucks and you feel like you need to speak to someone, how do we do? You see how absurd it is? I mean, how absurd it just becomes. when all we got to do is just step out and do what God's calling us to do. But we find inhibitions in our life that are holding us back because of things of the past and things that we've been through. And God is saying, lead my people out. And we're just like Moses sometimes going, I can't, God. I can't because I don't have the ability. So I want to share with you another story this morning. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to share with you someone who didn't have this issue like Moses. And Moses worked through his issue and was able to move on. But time and time again, he had problems because he was inhibited at times. And this is Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. And this is what it says. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Verse 14, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And this is how you're to build it. It's to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening one cubic high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower and middle and upper decks. And I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish. I will establish my covenant with you and you'll enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And you're to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. And you're to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. In verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. What's the difference this morning, church? What's the difference? God spoke to Moses about something that really wasn't that big of a deal to go do. Go speak to Pharaoh and say, God said, let my people go. And he made excuses. God spoke to Noah and says, go build this giant boat. It's going to be called an ark. I'm going to flood the water, send it. I'm going to kill everybody. You and your family, the only one's going to survive. Get in it and do it. Noah's like, okay. Can you imagine if God would have told Moses to build the ark? Might not have ever got done. Noah looks at God and says, okay, one of the craziest things that you could probably ever find in the Bible. And Noah's like, okay, you said it, I'll do it. Let's do this. Where do I start? Can you imagine as Moses begins his work, what's going on? He had no big deal. Just go tell people, I'm going to talk to Pharaoh. But can you imagine what Noah must have been like when he began his work? His neighbors, he's out there building away. Hey, what are you doing? Building an ark. What's an ark? I don't know. I'm building it, though. It's going to be big. Why are you doing that? God's going to flood the earth. Everybody's going to die. Really? Really? Noah, come here, buddy. Fever? Sick, buddy? You've been feeling okay lately? No, I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm fine. And the rumors gets around. Hey, man, did y'all hear what the guy, Noah, you know the guy down the end of the street? Have you seen what he's got going on in his yard? It's this big wood. He's got cypress wood everywhere and pitch, and he's building. He's talking about flood water. Man, he is off his gourd. Well, you know, he's always been kind of crazy. He's always had some problems. Can you imagine what the crowds, as he begin to build the boat, they come down and say, what are you doing? I'm building the boat. Why? Because God's going to flood the earth. Everybody's going to die. He's going to save me and my family and take it to every creature. What? You're going to gather up two of every, yep, how? God's going to send them. Noah, are you okay? What are you doing? Man, let go. Get some help. Let's go to the priest and see if he can pray for you. You got some problems, buddy. Can you imagine the stories, the rumors, what it was flooding around in his area? And Noah wasn't swayed at all. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is this. That Noah understood the ability and the urgency to trust in God at all costs. At all costs. And Moses was worried about his own skin. And Noah was like, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. Noah had learned to be free from inhibition because he completely trusted God. Man, I want to be like Noah. When God speaks into my life, I want to jump and run and go, I'm on it, God. I'm with it. I don't know the details, but I'm moving forward. God, as it happens, let it come forward. Let me be able to see it. But God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. And get out there and do the Father's business. He could have easily said, hang on, God, now, wait a minute now. You got the wrong guy, God. You know, I'm a farmer. I don't build boats. I don't even know what an ark is. I don't like getting pitch on my hands. It's sticky. It takes days to get off. My wife don't like it when I bring it home. He could have made all kinds of excuses, but he didn't. He took it and he ran with it. And Noah replaced inhibition with trust at every turn. And you know how the story turned out. So this morning, I want to wrap things up with this. If you write down anything this morning, I want you to write this question down. If failure was not a possibility, how would you live your life today? If failure was not a possibility, how would you live your life today? See, I'd submit to you this morning, church, that you'd be a different person. If there was no chance for any of us in this room to ever fail, we would live our lives differently. Those ideas that we have about businesses, man, we'd be all over them. We'd be starting stuff left and right. If we could never fail, we would live our lives differently. What would you try this morning if you knew the only answer was success? What would you put your hands to this morning if you knew that no matter what, you were going to be successful? What would you do? I want to read this to you. Proverbs 24:16 says this. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Let me interpret this for you this morning. That the righteous fail sometimes. They fall. They falter. They get knocked down. But the scripture says they get up again. And 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 they keep moving forward. But the wicked stumble when calamity comes. So when things start getting difficult, the wicked stumble and they don't make it. But the righteous may fall, they may fail, they may fall apart, but they're going to get up again and they're going to keep going because they have a strength that comes from something else besides what they can muster up. It's the power of Christ living within them. Listen, I want to challenge you this morning. Get up again. Get up. Every one of us, we could go around this room and share our sad songs. Every one of us have them. Every one of us. We've all had difficulties. We've all had problems. We've all had family issues. We've all had relationship issues. We've all had job issues. Every one of us. Get up and keep going because the righteous will move forward. Man, if you trust God, failure is not the end answer. It's success in everything. You may go through the ditches. You may trudge through things getting there. But you're going to see the blessing of God at the end. No one ever said it was going to be easy. But we said that this, that the scripture reminds us that we'll find God's plan and purpose for us on the other side. Get up. Don't just keep laying there this morning. Get up. When the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Get up. Let go of your inhibitions. See, what happens is when we fail, we get inhibitions because what? We don't want to fall again. We don't want to fail again. So we put barriers up to go, you know what? I can't let that happen again. So I'm building a wall over here so I can't fall into that again. When God's saying, kick the wall down and keep running. And if you stumble and fall again, you're righteous. You're going to get up, keep going, keep moving, keep working, keep seeking, keep praying. Don't let inhibitions restrict what I'm trying to do in your life because you failed once or twice. Keep moving forward. Listen, I'm going to close this morning with this. God's calling you to live unrestricted and free. He's calling you to take your inhibitions and lay them on the cross. Let me translate to you what the word inhibition translates to. Fear. You're afraid of not being successful. You're afraid of what might happen if you put all your trust in God because it's outside of your control. You're afraid. And God says this to you, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. And then he left that little one in there about, you may fall, the righteous, you know, you, but you're going to get up again. And then here's the glue that brings it all together this morning, Ephesians 4, 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Verse 20 is the one. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Listen, verse 20 says it all. For him who is able to do more, immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Does that sound like fear? Does that sound like impediment? Does that sound like restriction? Does that sound like being debarred? Does that sound like being in bondage? No, that sounds like being free. And that God has called us to walk uninhibited this morning. I challenge you this morning, church. Whatever it is, identify it and give it to God. Identify it. Over the next few moments, we're going to go into a time of prayer. We're going to open our altars for prayer this morning. We're a church that believes in the power of prayer. Man, you want to give something away, grab one of those cards, write it on there as a symbol to God this morning. Come lay it on the cross. Say, God, I want to walk away from this. I'm going to put my inhibitions on the cross this morning. Look, many people have already done it. Join with us this morning as we pray and say, God, I want to let go of everything that keeps me from being what you've called me to be. God, I don't want to live this way anymore. God, I don't want to be afraid of failure, because failure ultimately leads to success. God, I want to be the righteous that gets up and gets up and gets up. And I want to be busy about my Father's business. Let's pray together this morning.